Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
County Reports Positivity Rate by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. The Ector County Health Department website detailed that while the Texas positivity rate is 15%, the rate is now 17.4% in Ector County. The Ector County Health Department reported that there have been 2,659 positive cases of COVID-19 in the county during Wednesday's virtual briefing. The ECHD website listed that 1,142 of the cases are active, 1,767 are confirmed positive cases, 892 are probable positive cases, and 762 tests are pending. 34 Ector County residents have died from COVID-19-related complications, and 1,483 people have reportedly recovered from the virus. 61 people are reportedly hospitalized in Ector County hospitals with the virus. 32 patients are in the intensive care unit, and 16 are reportedly on ventilators. County Commissioner Eddie Shelton reported that out of the previous 10 cases, 3 Ector County Law Enforcement Center inmates have active cases. Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Saravanan spoke about the new CDC guidelines transitioning from a test-based strategy for discontinuing isolation to a symptom-based strategy regarding precautions for people who have been positive with the coronavirus. The main reasoning for this is because people that are testing positive even more than 2 weeks out are not shedding the virus anymore, but are still continuing to test positive, he said. The CDC reported on its website that most persons with COVID-19 illness, isolation, and precautions can generally be discontinued 10 days after symptom onset and resolution of fever for at least 24 hours without the use of fever-reducing medications and with improvement of other symptoms. The website also detailed that a limited amount of people with severe illness, quote, may produce replication-competent virus beyond 10 days that may warrant extending duration of isolation and precautions for up to 20 days after symptom onset, end quote, as well as a recommendation to consult with infection controls experts. Saravanan said in a phone interview that the CDC's decision to change the guidelines for discontinuing isolation, quote, is interesting because we are saying that there are going to be people that are asymptomatic carriers, and then we are talking about people who are no longer symptomatic but have been positive, now not being infectious anymore, end quote. ORMC President Stacy Brown reported that out of 1,524 tests, 293 people have tested positive for the virus, 18 are pending, and 17 are in the hospital. 14 patients are reportedly in the ICU, and 9 of them are on ventilators. Out of the in-hospital patients, 1 is from Courtyard Assisted Living, 1 is from Reeves County, 1 is from Crane, and 1 is from Big Lake, Brown said. Medical Center Hospital reported that out of 929 positive cases, 42 are in the hospital, 12 are on the 7th floor, and 16 are on the 8th floor. 12 are reportedly on the critical care unit, and 7 of them are on ventilators. No patients are on the CCU overflow unit. 1 patient is in labor and delivery, and 1 is in pediatrics. The patients in the hospital include 1 from Permian Basin Community Center, 3 from Siena Nursing and Rehabilitation, 5 from Andrews, one from Fort Stockton, and one from Stanton. No persons of investigation are reportedly in the hospital, and 294 tests are reportedly pending. Teachers voice concerns about reopening. OA News at OAOA.com. Although Ector County ISD officials have rolled out a plan to restart school in August, several people voiced concerns at Tuesday's Board of Trustees meeting about teacher safety, sick leave, and retirement benefits. Bobby Duncan, a retired teacher, expressed worry about returning to school at this time. Her main concern was teachers running out of sick leave if they become ill with COVID-19. Sherry Story, a music specialist at Travis Elementary School, said she was also worried that teachers will run out of sick leave and lose pay if they must quarantine or become sick. Both asked the district to find a solution for teachers to not have to use their own sick leave. Sheena Salcido and Javier Ruiz, both teachers, thanked the administration for inviting them to be on back-to-school committees and said they do not feel it is safe to return to school at this time. Ruiz is the president of the Odessa chapter of TSTA. They asked district leaders to keep schools online only until September 8th and only reopen school buildings to staff and students when the community sees a strong decline of COVID-19 cases for 30 days, the board recap said. Ruiz said after Superintendent Scott Murray presented the restart plan to teachers, his phone and email went crazy with questions and concerns. The district conducted a survey that showed 97% of teachers wanted to return to work. But Ruiz said TSTA conducted its survey anonymously, and when teachers answered honestly, they feared retaliation. He had several questions about everything from disinfectants in classrooms to deep cleaning, and whether if teachers resigned, they could not face sanctions against their license. For benefit and leave questions, Deputy Superintendent Stephanie Howard said Donna Ziriax, that's spelled Z-I-R-I-A-X, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Director of Employee Benefits, would be the point of contact. Murray said ECISD will go with the phased-in approach to opening school, although education will start August 12th. The phase-in process will take 4 weeks, and not every child will be in a building that day. The only children in the building will be students with no internet access in grades pre-kindergarten through second. Murray said data shows these are the students that have suffered the most. 39% of those students did not have a healthy remote learning experience. Phase 2 will begin August 18th. Phase 3 starts August 24th, and Phase 4 starts August 28th. The Texas Education Agency parameters state all schools will open for the school year using the calendar they have already approved. Students and families must have a choice to keep their children at home or to send them to school. And school districts can use a period of 4 weeks to phase in the number of students attending on campus, the recap said. Murray outlined plans for cleaning and sanitizing, as well as mask requirements for all staff and students, 4th grade through 12th grade, recommended for students pre-kindergarten through 3rd. Murray said each elementary school student and middle school student will have the choice of attending school on campus 5 days a week, learning from home, or a hybrid model that alternates between days on campus and days at home, the recap said. High school students will have 2 choices, remote learning or a hybrid of alternating days of learning at school and learning from home. High school students will not be able to attend on campus 5 days a week due to the limited space for the large number of students. All students will have a rotating A day, B day schedule, which will allow more students to attend face-to-face classes with teachers on campus. Students who want to attend in person on campus will be allowed back in four phases over the first few weeks of the year. All students will begin school on August 12th, some in person, most virtually. If health conditions deteriorate, Murray said district leaders may ask the board for a longer phase-in period. Students' movement will be limited on campus. There will be no lockers. Backpacks will be the critical tools for carrying materials between home and school. Students will be reminded to avoid sharing. Teachers will have to be creative in teaching the concept of sharing. Students will need to bring their device daily and take it home at the end of each of the day. School lunches or lunches brought from home are allowed, but no lunches brought to school by parents. Students learning remotely will have a meal pickup time. Scenarios were developed for the three scenarios of schools open for everybody, all schools closed, and a mixture or hybrid. 18 subcommittees worked on the scenarios. Masks will be recommended for pre-K through third graders while in class and will be required for all transitions. Germ blast sanitizer treatments will be conducted at all facilities and buses. Masks will be required for grades 4 through 12 and for all employees. Students will not wear masks while eating or doing physical activity. The mask requirements are aligned to governor's order and allowable exemptions. All staff members and families will self-screen for COVID-19 symptoms prior to reporting to work or school. Positive cases may lead to the closure of classrooms, school wings, individual schools, and or the school district. Bus drivers will wear masks and face shields. For buses, only one student per bus seat will be allowed. Routes will run in segments. Passengers must use hand sanitizer upon boarding. Windows will be open when possible, and buses thoroughly cleaned after each bus trip. Students will be required to wear face coverings while riding on the bus. Face shields are optional for all employees. Every staff member who wants to wear one can. Some will be required to wear one based on the job they have. Students will have to take devices to and from school. For athletics and fine arts, there will be practice before and after school. Marching band starts September 7th. The first day of football practice will be September 7th, but the first game won't happen until September 24th, and the championship will be in January. July 29th, any changes to the phase-in schedule will be announced based on local context. July 29th through August 2nd, parents must choose remote or in-person learning. New teacher orientation will be virtual August 3rd and 4th. Teachers return to work August 5th. Device distribution to students is set for August 5th through 11th. In other business, trustees voted 6-0 to approve the process they will use to appoint someone to fill the current vacancy on school board position 4. Trustees agreed to widely advertise the opening, requesting a cover letter and resume from people interested in serving on the board. The application period will remain open for 2 weeks, after which time trustees will interview candidates during the board meeting in August. More detailed back-to-school information at www.ectorcountyisd.org/back-to-school. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 2,659. Ector County negative, 10,187 out of 13,608 tested, with 762 pending. 34 deaths. Recovered, 1,483. Active, 1,142. Midland County, 1,656 confirmed, 29 deaths. Texas, 351,618 confirmed, with 3,104,148 tested. Total Texas deaths, 4,348. U.S. cases, 3,882,167 total confirmed, and 141,677 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Clayshoot fundraiser. Share. Sharing Hands, a respite experience, has scheduled Shooters That Share Friday at Windwalker Farms, 2551 County Road 2801, Stanton. Registration starts at 9 a.m. Funds go to support Share, a nonprofit organization dedicated to caring for families who care for a child with special needs. COVID protocol will be taken to assure everyone's safety. Six-man teams, $175 per shooter, lunch included. Sponsorships are available. To pre-register, sponsor, or for more information, call Rachel Reinert at 432-818-1257, email rreinert@sharewtx.org, that's R-R-E-I-N-E-R-T at sharewtx.org, or visit shootersthatshare.com. Law Enforcement Fundraiser. A law enforcement community event fundraiser has been scheduled at 9 a.m. Saturday at Wilson's Corner Grocery, 16514 South Highway 385. Barbecue plates are $10, donations accepted. Proceeds will be equally divided between Ector County Sheriff's Department and the Odessa Police Department. Visit tinyurl.com/YXJZULF9. Sol Ross Blood Drive. Sol Ross State University has scheduled a blood drive from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday and from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. July 29th in room 129 of the Pete P. Gallegos Center. Masks are required. Donors will be tested for COVID-19 antibodies. Appointments are strongly encouraged. To make an appointment online, visit tinyurl.com/Y77YTDJK or bloodhero.com. For more information, email health@solross.edu. From Staff Reports. Closing prices. Posted, $38.50. Futures, $41.90. Natural gas, $1.681. Benchmark U.S. fell 2 cents to $41.90 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Preparing for a presidential visit. Three photos. Top, from left, Nora Wright and Mean Gene Kimble look at their credit card reader while running their Trump 2020 merchandise stand along Kermit Highway on Wednesday afternoon. Kimble and Wright were running the merchandise stand in advance of President Donald Trump's fundraising visit to the Permian Basin next week on Wednesday, July 29th. Left, a Donald Trump bobblehead, along with, quote, Make America Great Again, end quote, coffee mugs and t-shirts are just a few of the items being sold. Right, mean Jean Kimball gives the peace sign to a customer as they leave her Trump 2020 merchandise stand. Photos by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Local news roundup. Man charged with stealing vehicle, charging credit card. A woman detailed in an Odessa Police Department affidavit that a 41-year-old man stole her SUV and made two purchases with her credit card that nearly totaled $1,400. Alejandro Pena Aranda was charged with two counts of credit card abuse, a state jail felony, and theft, a Class C misdemeanor. The reported theft and credit card purchases happened July 7th after Heaven Hunt stated that her 2016 gray Honda CRV had been stolen by an unknown person, the affidavit detailed. Hunt reportedly told police that her wallet was inside the vehicle and her credit card had been used at Little Caesars and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Security video shows two men entering the stores and attempting to use Hunt's credit card to make purchases. One of the suspects was later identified as Aranda, the affidavit stated. At 9:07 p.m. July 7th, Aranda and an unknown man use Hunt's credit card to purchase pizza for $22.88. On the same day, at 10:02 p.m., Aranda and an unknown man use Hunt's credit card to purchase men's clothing and shoes for $1,367. Aranda reportedly confessed to detectives that he knew the purchases were being made with a stolen credit card. Aranda was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He had three bonds, totaling $11,000, and posted bail on Tuesday, jail records show. Man charged with pushing pregnant girlfriend. A 27-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly pushed his pregnant girlfriend to the ground. Daniel Fidel Sushil was charged with assault of a pregnant person, a third-degree felony, and assault causing bodily injury, family member, a Class A misdemeanor. The reported assault happened around 9:52 p.m. Sunday in the area of Field Street and Meadow Avenue, the Odessa Police Department affidavit stated. The victim, identified as Sapphire Mojica, reportedly told police that her boyfriend, Sushil, that's S-U-C-H-I-L, had pushed her to the ground and caused the back of her head to swell. Police saw an injury to the back of her head. Mojica stated that when Sushil pushed her to the ground, that it resulted in injuries to her legs, the affidavit stated. Police saw fresh scrapes to her left knee area, and they saw it to be slightly bleeding. Mojica reportedly told police that she was 5 months with Sushil's child. Mojica was asked if Sushil knew she was pregnant, and she stated that Sushil knew. Sushil reportedly made the remark the child wasn't his due to her cheating on him. Sushil was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He has two bonds totaling $25,000 and was still in custody as of Wednesday morning, jail records show. This is Kay once more reading the Odessa American for Thursday, July 23rd, 2020, OAOA.com. Equity Task Force presents recommendations. OA News at OAOA.com. Ector County ISD trustees received an update on the work being done by the Equity Task Force, which studied discipline and suspensions. The group included local educators and community members. The data shows African American students, who make up 4% of the student population, are a disproportionately big percentage of out-of-school suspensions, in-school suspensions, and alternative placements, the board recap said. The task force was formed earlier this year after a presentation showing discipline was disproportionately given to African American students compared to other student groups. The task force offered recommendations of using a campus team to support students rather than punish at early signs of trouble, implementing restorative discipline and strong professional development for campus leaders, implementing cultural bias and awareness training, developing partnerships for mentoring, refining the district drug testing policy and alternative placement practices, and strategic scheduling that encourages more challenging courses and extracurricular activities, the recap said. Instituting an equity policy also came up. ECISD's African American population is about 4%, or 1,344 students. Information from the presentation showed more African American students consistently attend school less than other populations. Recommendations presented were: implement restorative discipline and provide professional development for all campus administrators. Develop partnership with community organizations and universities to provide mentoring program. Explore methodologies on cultural bias, cultural awareness. Everyone has biases we just have to recognize before we approach the situation. Our goal rolling this out tomorrow to our campus administrators, our goal is to get staff trained by October. SAS counselors are active. It is up to principals to use them effectively. Refine ECISD student drug testing policy and DAEP placement practices. Superintendent Scott Murray said this is where ECISD will develop a first offender program. Executive Director for Leadership Robert Cedillo said the purpose of strategic scheduling is promote more dual credit, advanced placement, and extracurricular activities for African American students. Cedillo said this is a 3-year process. Strategies could change and strategies could be added. The Equity Task Force will continue to meet quarterly to help implement and measure progress. ECISD teacher and parent Angela Love Jackson spoke to the board about her desire for the work of the Equity Task Force to quickly move from research to action in order to rectify the significant differences in discipline and punishment for Black students, the recap said. Murray said the district is rolling out unconscious bias training for staff, and it will be available for board members as well. The goal is to get all the staff trained by October. Executive Director for Leadership Robert Cedillo said there were 603 drug offenses, drugs and alcohol, in the 2018-19 school year. This was significantly higher than other districts. Cedillo said when a student is caught with drugs, for example, they are placed in the district alternative placement program, alternative center, and in out-of-school suspension for 3 days. On an unrelated item, the board voted 6-0 to approve personnel recommendations. The two approvals were Jennifer Bazell as the principal at Reagan Elementary School. She is currently the assistant principal at Blackshear Elementary and has 21 years of experience and work as an assistant principal at Jordan Elementary as well as Blackshear. She replaces Wayne Squires. Paul Fultz as the principal at Bowie Middle School. He is an experienced school leader with a global experience as he moves from the position of head of schools at Knightsbridge Schools International in Bogota, Colombia. His 18 years of experience also includes leadership stints at schools in Spain, Dallas, and Irving. Fulce replaces Brian Ellington. On the net, tinyurl.com/y6waorgd. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, July 23rd, 2020. Obituaries and death notices. Obituaries. Judy Diane Chiers Chihan, Odessa. On April 12, 1953, in Odessa, Texas, Arthur and Bonnie Blackstock Chiers welcomed a beautiful and perfect baby girl into this world. Growing up in Odessa, she attended San Jacinto Elementary, Burnett Elementary, Lamar Elementary, Crockett Junior High, and was a part of the Odessa High School graduating class of 1971. She is survived by her children, Chris Beam, his wife Lori, and son Amos, Amber Dodson Hernandez, her husband Edgar, daughter Zoe, and son JJ, Azure Dodson, her husband Jeff Flowers, daughters Fallon, Alyssa Schindler, her husband Adam, their son, and Judy's great-grandson, Rory. Also her brother, David Chiers, and his wife, Carla, Judy's loving boyfriend, Breeze, her best friend, Mary Ambrose, favorite cousin and best friend, Rietta Lang, as well as nieces, nephews, numerous cousins. Due to Mom's welcoming nature, many of her friends were also her family. Judy never met a stranger. She was our mom, and she was loved more than we can describe, and she will forever be missed. Her wings were ready, but our hearts were not. We've gained another guardian angel. Mom was welcomed home by her mom and dad, her best friends, Margaret, Mimi, Jewel, and many, many others. Here on Earth, we will continue to love, miss, remember, and celebrate her. Mom is waiting for us with her beautiful smile and loving arms. We love you, Mom. April 12, 1953 to July 16, 2020. Due to the current situations, we will have a celebration of life after Donald Trump is reelected and the COVID-19 magically disappears. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. John Ray Watson, Roswell. John Ray Watson, 77, passed away on Sunday, July 19, 2020, in Roswell, New Mexico. Please take a moment and share a kind thought or memory with John's family at www.andersonbethany.com. Services. A Masonic service will be held at General Douglas L. McBride on Thursday, July 23, 2020 at 10 a.m. in Roswell, New Mexico. On January 10, 1943, John was born to Kyle Herschel and Helen Louise Brinks Watson in Eunice, New Mexico. He was a high school graduate who attended some college, but went on to join the U.S. Army and become an 82nd Airborne paratrooper. Prior to retirement, he worked as a measurement technician with El Paso Natural Gas. John was a member of the Baptist Church, Jal Masonic Lodge No. 65, and Shriners International. He enjoyed golf, playing with his grandkids, buying, trading stocks, painting, and reading. His family and friends will miss him dearly. Survivors left behind to treasure their memories of John are his loving wife of 55 years, Jean Watson. Children, John Ray Watson Jr. and Tracy Andrew Gamboa. Grandchildren, John Caleb Lexi Gamboa of Frederica, Delaware. Micah Faye Gamboa Luis Sanchez of Roswell, New Mexico. John Ryan Watson of Hobbs, New Mexico. and Michael Thomas of Hobbs, New Mexico. Great-grandchildren Colin Jude Sanchez and Jackson Cole Sanchez, both of Roswell, New Mexico. Siblings Pat Sandman of Port Townsend, Washington, and Linda Perkins of New Braunfels, Texas. Close friend Don Green of Jal, New Mexico, as well as his loving pet, Sassy. John is preceded in death by his parents, Kyle Herschel and Helen Louise Brinks Watson. John's family would like to extend a special thank you to the 100 wing of Casa Maria Nursing Home of Roswell, New Mexico. Contributions may be made in John's honor to Southwest Parkinson's Association, 3601 22nd, Suite 300, Lubbock, Texas, 79410. Jerome Jerry Howard Schoner, Odessa. Jerome H. Jerry Schoner, spelled T-S-C-H-A-U-N-E-R, 83, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on July 19, 2020. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Friday, July 24, 2020, at Crossroads Fellowship, with Dr. Griffin Jones officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Jerry was born to Elmer Jerome Schoner and Dorothy Shelmadine Schoner in Claremore, Oklahoma. They lived in several cities before settling in Grand Falls, Texas, and then in Odessa, Texas. Jerry attended school in Odessa and graduated from Odessa High School in 1954. He was selected as an all-district player in football for Odessa High in 1953, when Odessa High went to the football state championship, where they lost to a very good Houston Lamar team. While in high school, Jerry met the love of his life, Joy Maurice Hill, who would become his wife and half his world, on August 25th, 1956. He attended college at Texas Tech College, gaining a bachelor's degree in park management with a minor in horticulture. While attending Texas Tech, their first son, Vance, was born. After graduation, Jerry went into the U.S. Army as a second lieutenant and was stationed in Germany. While in Germany, Jerry and Joy were blessed with two more sons, Rob and Scott. After leaving the military, Jerry, Joy, and their three boys moved to Paladero Canyon State Park outside of Amarillo, Texas, where Jerry was responsible for overseeing numerous state parks in District 1. In 1964, the family moved to San Angelo, Texas, when the Texas Parks and Wildlife consolidated their district offices. In late 1965, the family returned to Odessa, Texas, when Jerry accepted the position of Director of Parks for the Ector County Parks and Recreation. In 1969, God surprised Jerry and Joy when he gave them the precious gift of a fourth son, Christian. Now their family was complete. In 1975, Jerry left the Parks Department and accepted the position of Director of Planning at the Permian Basin Regional Planning Commission, where he would eventually retire in October of 2007. Jerry loved to go camping with his family. Jerry and Joy's boys have so many fun memories of the family camping trips. After the boys grew up, Jerry and Joy continued to go camping every chance they had. Jerry was an avid Texas Tech fan and had season tickets for Texas Tech football games up to his death. He never turned down an opportunity to go to a Tech basketball or baseball game. He and or Joy were at almost every activity one of their boys was in. This love of family transferred down to his grandchildren and even to his great-grandchildren. He could be found at numerous events around town, cheering on one of his family. Jerry is preceded in death by his parents, Dorothy and Elmer Schoner, and his beloved wife, Joy Hill Schoner. Jerry is survived by his sister, Sally Allen, four sons, Vance Howard Shawner and wife Jonna, Rob Michael Shawner and wife Kathy, Jerome Scott Shawner and wife Debbie, and Christian Lee Shawner and wife Monica. He is also survived by a living legacy of 12 grandchildren and 18 great-grandchildren. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Betty June Heigl Guthrie, Midland. Our loved one, Betty, has fallen asleep in Christ. She passed July 21, 2020, in Midland, Texas, at the age of 80. She was born on September 21, 1939, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, to the late Frank James and Georgia Marie Heigl. Betty spent her junior high school years in Graham, Texas, where she kept friends until her death. She graduated from Wichita Falls High School, Old High, in 1957. She married James Allen Guthrie in 1959, and they immediately started a family with three children, Laurie, Steve, and David. They temporarily moved from Wichita Falls to Odessa in 1968. She later moved to Midland. Her short visit to the Permian Basin lasted 52 years until her death. She worked various jobs through the years to help support three young children, but her favorite by far was working as a florist. She had a natural flair for creating beauty from flowers for all occasions. She was charitable, loyal, and loved her family deeply. Betty enjoyed reading the Bible, genealogy, history, trivia, and word games. She loved holidays when family would gather and invariably end up at the table playing games. Even in her later years in assisted living, she was the ringleader, buying games and getting the other residents to play. She was raised Southern Baptist and made sure her children were brought up in the Christian faith. She is preceded in death by James, her husband of 35 years, who she missed terribly after his death in 1994. Her parents, two brothers, Frank James Jr. and Paul Lewis, and two sisters who were her best friends, Patsy and Sandra. She is survived by her three children, five grandchildren, and eight great-grandchildren, Laurie Guthrie Searcy of Odessa and her three children, Lindsay, Calvin, Yalitza, and children Cadence, Talon, and Evan, and Jared, Steve Guthrie and his wife Eileen of Midland and their two children, Allison, Joel, and children Kate, Logan, and Levi, and Stephanie, Jason, and children Carter and Annie, David Guthrie and his wife Deborah of Odessa. She had a niece, Jan Sims, and her husband Jerry, along with Jan's son Brian, daughter Spencer. Betty also had a nephew, Kyle Smith, and his wife Jennifer, and their children Addison, Peyton, Ava, and Hanson. Cousins she was particularly close with were Karen Driscoll and her husband Bill, Beverly Finnessy, and Jean Matthews. She had numerous other cousins, nieces, and nephews whom she loved. A private graveside service will be held at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Arrangements are under the direction of Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death Notices. Alvin Ray Alford, Odessa. Alvin Ray Alford, 74, of Odessa, died Saturday, July 18, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Friday, July 24, 2020, at Odessa 2 section. Burial will take place at Graveside at Ector County Cemetery in Odessa 2 section. Pastor Samuel Buell is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Eugenio V. Jean Castillo, Odessa. Eugenio V. Jean Castillo, 54, of Odessa, died Monday, July 20th, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral services scheduled for 2 p.m. on Friday, July 24th, 2020, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Roberto Gonzalez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Nicholas Galindo Nick Flores, Odessa. Nicholas Galindo Nick Flores, 67, of Odessa, died Monday, July 20th, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Thursday, July 23rd, 2020, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Family has opted for private cremation to follow. Pastor Pete Landa is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Doris Maxine Malone, McCamey, Texas. Doris Maxine Malone, 99, of Fort Stockton, died Sunday, July 19th, 2020, in McCamey, Texas. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Heritage Funeral Home, Big Bend, of Fort Stockton. Jerome James Meister, Odessa. Jerome James Meister, M-E-I-S-T-E-R, 70, died Monday, July 20th, 2020, in Big Spring. Services are pending with Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, Big Spring, of Big Spring. Dolores S. Lolo Navarrete, Sr., Odessa. Dolores S. Lolo Navarrete, Sr., 90, of Odessa, died Monday, July 20th, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Friday, July 24th, 2020, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Claudia Grace Thatcher, Odessa. Claudia Grace Thatcher, 2, of Odessa, died Monday, July 20th, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Saturday, July 25th, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, July 23rd, 2020, etc. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, July 23rd, 2020, etc. New relationship founders on sharing a video. Dear Abby, a casual friend sent me a video of a comic doing a very lewd and vulgar routine. I was offended by it and forwarded it to my girlfriend to find out what she thought about it. She got very upset and told me I was being disrespectful to her by even passing it on to her. I should add that we met online and have been talking on the phone with each other for only a month during this shelter-in-place time. This incident nearly ended our new relationship. Was I wrong to send her the video? And what should I do now to save what I think is the most wonderful relationship I have ever had in my life? No laughing matter. Dear, no laughing. Before sending the video, you should have warned your new girlfriend that it was vulgar and asked if she wanted to see it, which would have given her the opportunity to refuse. What you should do now is apologize for having offended her and tell her how much you value your relationship with her. Then cross your fingers that she still feels the same. Dear Abby, my wife had some health issues over the last 4 years and gained 40 pounds. She keeps saying she wants to lose the weight, but doesn't do anything about it. Her blood pressure is high, so she needs to do it. When I try to bring it up, she gets mad and always mentions the health issues. But those issues are now totally behind her. What can I do or say to get her going again? Full of concern in New Jersey. Dear Full, tell your wife you don't mean to come across as a nag, but you are worried because of her blood pressure issue. She is far from the only person who procrastinates when faced with changing one's lifestyle. Many folks are overindulging now because of the challenge of social isolation. Something that might benefit you both would be to encourage her to get out and start walking with you on a regular basis. And drop the subject of weight for now. Take it up again once your lives begin to normalize, and she may be less defensive. Dear Abby, my college-aged daughter, Dahlia, refuses to take seriously the social distancing necessary to control the spread of COVID-19, even though her college, like many others, has closed. She says it's all overblown, even though her father and I are older and she has a pregnant sister at home. Dahlia is young, and she thinks she's invincible. I think my daughter is selfish for not caring about anyone else. What can I say to her? Following the rules in West Virginia. Dear Following, many people still are having trouble accepting the fact that we are all at risk because of an invisible and silent enemy, COVID-19. Because you are unable to get through to Dahlia, assert yourself as the adult in the household and establish some rules to protect yourself, your husband, your pregnant daughter, and your unborn grandchild. First among them, Dahlia must follow the government guidelines regarding social distancing, hand washing, etc., or find another place to live. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com. New relationship founders on sharing a video. Dear Abby, a casual friend sent me a video of a comic doing a very lewd and vulgar routine. I was offended by it and forwarded it to my girlfriend to find out what she thought about it. She got very upset and told me I was being disrespectful to her by even passing it on to her. I should add that we met online and have been talking on the phone with each other for only a month during this shelter-in-place time. This incident nearly ended our new relationship. Was I wrong to send her the video? And what should I do now to save what I think is the most wonderful relationship I have ever had in my life? No laughing matter. Dear, no laughing. Before sending the video, you should have warned your new girlfriend that it was vulgar and asked if she wanted to see it, which would have given her the opportunity to refuse. What you should do now is apologize for having offended her and tell her how much you value your relationship with her. Then cross your fingers that she still feels the same. Dear Abby, my wife had some health issues over the last 4 years and gained 40 pounds. She keeps saying she wants to lose the weight, but doesn't do anything about it. Her blood pressure is high, so she needs to do it. When I try to bring it up, she gets mad and always mentions the health issues. But those issues are now totally behind her. What can I do or say to get her going again? Full of concern in New Jersey. Dear Full, tell your wife you don't mean to come across as a nag, but you are worried because of her blood pressure issue. She is far from the only person who procrastinates when faced with changing one's lifestyle. Many folks are overindulging now because of the challenge of social isolation. Something that might benefit you both would be to encourage her to get out and start walking with you on a regular basis. And drop the subject of weight for now. Take it up again once your lives begin to normalize, and she may be less defensive. Dear Abby, my college-aged daughter, Dahlia, refuses to take seriously the social distancing necessary to control the spread of COVID-19, even though her college, like many others, has closed. She says it's all overblown, even though her father and I are older and she has a pregnant sister at home. Dahlia is young, and she thinks she's invincible. I think my daughter is selfish for not caring about anyone else. What can I say to her? Following the rules in West Virginia. Dear Following, many people still are having trouble accepting the fact that we are all at risk because of an invisible and silent enemy, COVID-19. Because you are unable to get through to Dahlia, assert yourself as the adult in the household and establish some rules to protect yourself, your husband, your pregnant daughter, and your unborn grandchild. First among them, Dahlia must follow the government guidelines regarding social distancing, hand washing, etc., or find another place to live. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Leo and a moon in Virgo. Happy birthday for Thursday, July 23, 2020. Human and compassionate, you are so often assailed by doubts. But please don't doubt this year, as it will be very successful for you. You learn to give to yourself more, others less, and to replenish yourself as a result. If single, a new relationship begins in November. If attached, you two have an extremely close bond, often formed after working together, with many happy years ahead. Leo has faith in you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 3 stars. An employment opportunity suggested by an old friend is worth considering. Income is impacted by work you've done in the past and your established financial habits. It's a wonderful day to cast out clutter on a number of levels. Tonight, early to bed. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 5 stars. A new opportunity for a child makes you happy. Your creative potential is about to unfold even further. Today is a good time to indulge in a bit of risk-taking. Tonight, you make a difference because of your ability to integrate unusual ideas. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. Today isn't the best time for travel. Since you are quite domestic, you can find plenty to keep you content around your own home. Goals are more reachable and defined. The company of the very young cheers and comforts you. Tonight, others seek you out. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 4 stars. You will acquire valuable information today. Phone calls, emails, and conversations are most revealing. It's a marvelous time to work with computers and other modern technologies. A real estate transaction or family festivity may be part of this. Tonight, speak your mind. Leo, July 23 through August 22, 3 stars. Balancing financial matters in order to acquire items you need and want will be important. You can go on a shopping expedition today. Keep all receipts and compare prices, though, as you might very well change your mind. Tonight, Decisions fall on you. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. A reputation as the zodiac's worrier and worker often makes Virgos complain that their birth sign isn't too exciting. Today brings you the opportunity to display just how warm and talented you really are. Tonight, accept all invitations and express a zest for life. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. You have a strong case of wanderlust in your heart. Today promises insights of a spiritual nature. It's a time when you will seek truth and long to define goodness. Conflicts about faith begin to resolve themselves. Tonight, let others run the show. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. Old business is concluded. Prepare to move forward. All that is ultra-modern impresses you today. There is an increasing urge to grow on many levels. Consider options with care and do research before making any life-changing decisions. Tonight, kick back. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Your visibility is on the rise. It is difficult to keep any secrets at work today. You develop a deeper understanding of ongoing conditions at work or within organizations. If you expend extra effort, a recognition or promotion comes your way. Tonight, celebrate. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Expect some interesting conversations today. New ideas are suggested, and business combines gracefully with pleasure. Your energy level is enhanced, romantic urges are pronounced, and you might even express your love. Tonight, an intimate dinner for two, with even more proclamations. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 1 star. Be aware of the financial patterns of a partner. If your security has been threatened before by the choices of another, take care not to let it happen again. Examine financial documents before signing. Tonight, a secret is revealed, bringing a sense of closure. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 2 stars. A close companion repeats old patterns. Detach if you feel a relationship is draining you. Reclaiming your independence means salvation. Others are involved in their own needs for the time being. Quell demands and expectations. Tonight, take time to heal. Born today, actor Woody Harrelson, 1961, actor Philip Seymour Hoffman, 1967, musician Alison Krauss, 1971.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.